peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. I'm not gonna be afraid, 'cause these waves are only waves. I'm not gonna be afraid, I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm not gonna fear the storm, you are greater than its roar. I'm not gonna fear the storm, I'm not gonna fear it all. Peace be still, say the word and I will set my feet upon the sea, till I'm dancing in the deep. Peace be still, you are here, so it is well. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust the voice that speaks. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
You know the time. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is closer now than when we first believed. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, for the night is far gone and the day is at hand. Arise and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a reawakening.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to this service here on this Sunday, this beautiful day where we have come together as a remnant community. I know some of you, it's the afternoon, but whether it's morning or afternoon, I want to welcome you. Well, thank you for being here today. And we just want to invite the presence of the Lord to move on our hearts, that we may have ears to hear, that we may have eyes to see in this critical hour for our country and for this body. And so let's go ahead and pray. And I just want to say thank you for taking the time to tune in, whether it's your first time or you regularly tune in to The Remnant. We love you. We appreciate you. And I believe you're here for a reason. I believe the Lord has led you here today. And I believe he's going to speak to our heart. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for today. As we get into your word today, I pray that you'd meet us in such a way, Lord God, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see, and that it would mark us, Lord God, that we, as remnant warriors, as the body of Christ, the ecclesia, in this very important hour in our world, would have the understanding of how to navigate, how to get people saved and set free and healed and delivered, that we'd be about your business, that we would not have the vain imaginations, Lord, that it wouldn't be about likes and follows and building our own kingdom or any of those things, Lord God, that we would be completely and fully engaged and entrenched in your word and in your purpose. And so I just thank you that anybody that's tuning in right now that's discouraged, that's tired, that's weary, that feels beat down today, that you'd give them rest, Lord God, that they would leave today feeling encouraged, strengthened in their faith, Lord God, ready for what they need to do. And Lord, we just thank you that you're with us. You have not forsaken us. I know it seems like that. Sometimes people think their prayers aren't being answered, but God, you hear every single prayer. You're moving before us. You're making a way where it seems like there is no way. And we're not attached to the things of this world, Lord God. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we just thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your presence today. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Revelation. Go ahead and we're going to read two scriptures out of Revelation. Revelation 12 is the first one. Revelation 12, you may have heard my live stream earlier this week, but Revelation 12, 11, very simple. It says this: they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Friends, we are in a wild time right now. We just here in the United States just got through the midterm elections. It was not as many had predicted. It was not as many as had expected to come. There was a lot of talk about a red tsunami, a red wave, and we're lucky to call it a red splash. But you know, regardless of that, our lives are not dictated by what happens in this world. Thank you, Jesus. We're in it, but we're not of it. We've been commissioned, we've been given a mission, and our joy is not found in the things of this world. In fact, if I would have, you know, gotten my joy from the things of this world, I would have been broken when I came to Christ in a way that I could not have recovered, because, you know, I had to lose everything to become a Christian. How many of you can relate? You know, I was very wealthy in the world, in Hollywood. I was a child actor. I had a beautiful place, a beautiful condo. I was driving around in a beautiful car at a very early age. You know, I had, you know, just all the finer things that this world has to offer, but I was miserable. This was in my early 20s, you know, I mean, miserable. And even though I thought I was happy because I had ascertained been able to gather the things of this world and what the people would tell you would make you happy, you know, to me, it was just an emptiness, and I would wake up with an emptiness, and I'd go to sleep with an emptiness. And that void was filled by what I call the ultimate void filler, Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit, that changed me forever and set me on a course that would absolutely change my life in such a way that there's no way that I could go back to the former self. And I had an encounter with the living God and his fire. And this is why I became a preacher. Because there's something about that encounter with that fire that even if I tried, even if I wanted to, I could not stop preaching, because there's so much fire inside me. There's so much preach inside me, because there's a passion that the Lord has given me to preach and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And as I walk around this world and I see so many broken people, so many wounded people, so many hurting people, so many people that are seeking, that are looking, that are trying to find happiness, and yet they're miserable. And so I understand that. So we have the answer. We have the solution. But there's many that are in Christ that don't even feel the joy. There's many that are angry, that are walking around today that know Jesus, but are blaming him for their problems, blaming him for their life, blaming him for the confusion that they walk in and the double-mindedness, and not really knowing what the Word of God says. And this is why many people are running to and fro and are looking for a word. So I want to share with you today, because last week our sermon went viral. And many people have contacted me over the course of the last week, and they said, Pastor Todd, that was a tough message last week. You know, we talked about the itchy ears, tickling ears, and how many people are gravitating towards a message that they want to hear that's curtails for them, you know, what they want to hear, and they don't want to face the reality. And of course, history repeats itself. This happened in Nazi Germany. This happened so many times where there was the children of Israel over the years that started getting the itchy ears and didn't want to hear the truth. And I really believe that fast that we had a few weeks back was a game changer in my life. Friends, I'm going to tell you, as the Lord has expanded the territory here at the ministry, I've gotten to shake hands and hug a lot of people in the body of Christ. And of course, you know, I have a show and we interview people. I actually have on a couple of different shows and, you know, we interview different people. And by the way, I don't get paid for any of those. But you know, we do them to get the word out, to get the truth out, to expand the kingdom. It's just another way to evangelize and to wake people up. And so that's why we do those things. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And, you know, people think I'm making all this money on it. I'm not at all. I know there are people out there that are doing that because I see those people, but that's not happening here. We do make some money, but you know, for the most part, it's just all of it is to keep the ministry going, you know, and the reason why we do this, because we have a passion. There's a fire in our bosom, in our spirit, where we want to get the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ out, you know. But as the Lord has expanded the territory, I've gotten to meet and shake hands with so many people in the Christian world. And I just want to tell you that the Lord has really shown me in these last few weeks that I have to be careful even who I post about or who I do videos with, or because a lot of people are watching and I don't have the time to listen to everything all these people are saying. See, I'm just going to be real and transparent in my humanity. You know, as I go out there and the Lord has expanded the territory, it's a blessing to meet some of these people that you see out there. And, you know, you've heard of them or you heard of their ministry. And, you know, for many years, you've followed certain things that they say. And then you meet them in person, you get to know them. And, you know, there's a certain part of that that's like, wow, this is good. This is good. We're coming together. And, you know, I believe that different streams are coming together. And I'm all about unity, not for the sake of unifying, but for the sake of being the body. You know, and overlooking the small things that we don't agree on, the few doctrinal variances, and instead, you know, being a unified body of Christ to stand against the darkness and the wickedness of this hour, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. So all these things are not bad things. What the Lord's been showing me is, unfortunately, I don't know what some of these people say all the time. I don't have time to listen to all their prophecies or their sermons or what they say on every podcast. You know, I'm busy doing the work of the kingdom myself. I don't know what everybody's saying. And so what happens is sometimes, you know, just having a picture with somebody or maybe having somebody on as a guest on the program, you know, what happens is many of you say, well, there's Pastor Todd. He's with this person. I'm going to start following this person, right? And then what happens is you branch off into all these different groups, and many people are listening to many different things. And I don't know sometimes what some of these people are saying. Are you following me? And so the Lord has shown me in these last few weeks, Todd, you got to be more careful with that. And I'm just, you know, this is a learning curve for me too. And so we're going to make some adjustments. I'm not going to interview as many people. I'm not going to take pictures with as many people, because really, here's the deal. Okay. With this, and I'm not here to like attack anybody or whatnot, but there's some weird things going on out there. Okay. There's some weird things that are happening. And as we get, as the hour gets later, see, if I'm in a picture with somebody, to many people, it looks like I'm validating everything that they've said or they're going to say. And honestly, I need to be careful with that. I'm just being transparent with you, because where he's taking this body is a place of purity, consecration, standing for the entirety of the word of God. We're not synchronizing with another religion. We're not trying to appease man or tickle ears or tell you what you want to hear. Or, you know, this isn't about likes or followers or any of these things. And we can't get caught up in these different silos and these different things. You know, there's aberrations that are happening right now. You know, this group is about this and this group is about that. And this group is saying this and this group is saying that. And where I really feel the Lord is leading this remnant community is to come out from among them, meaning anybody that's not a pure stream. And I'm not saying that, you know, we got it all figured out, but we are a people that hunger and thirst for righteousness. We want to stick to the word of God. We want to be hungry for the truth, and we don't want to be caught up in vain imaginations. And so if you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn there, 2 Corinthians 10, and I'm going to read 1 through 6. I'm going to get in this a little bit more. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. The spiritual war. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. It says this. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in the presence I am lowly among you, but being absent and being bold towards you. All right, Paul, thank you for being bold. Verse 2, it says, but I beg you, then when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Very important. Now, right after he says that, number 5, verse 5, it says, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This is a very important group of scripture right here. Okay, the Apostle Paul is speaking boldly to the you know, the church in Corinth. And what he's saying is he's basically saying, look, we are in a war. It's a spiritual war, and we're not battling against flesh. There's going to be people that rise up. There's going to be accusations. There's going to be people that get haughty or prideful or angry, or, you know, say a bunch of things about you. Or I'm sure you've seen this in your family or friends group, especially in the last couple of years, you know, where you've taken a stand on a certain issue and people are coming against you. They're saying different things. But he says the weapons of our warfare in verse 4 are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And this is so important. Because, you know, here's the thing. Have I been involved politically? Yes. In fact, I had a list I was going to read to you, and I started writing it out. I didn't finish it, but let me just read some of this. In the last 2 years, since 2020, in the lead up to that, I spoke to 42 churches about voting their values. I've met with 3 governors. I've spoke to 2 senators. I've spoke to 22 congresspeople, 6 state legislators. I've met with, Supreme Court justices, not of the main Supreme Court, but state Supreme Court, and on and on and on and on and on. And so, you know, how many places there was another number here. I spoke at 11 state capitals, including the national capital. I mean, I can go on and on about what, you know, we've been to 52 cities. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, I just keep reading this list of where we've been and what we've done. And I don't say that for a pat on the back. I say it because the Lord opened so many doors, and he's allowed us to go and speak the word of God to people in prominent positions around our country and stand for biblical values and stand for religious liberty and stand for freedom. And what an honor and a blessing. So if there's anybody out there that believes that we need to be involved politically and active politically, it's me. And I say that, and of course, now I was in the presence of President Trump a few times, his family. I can go on and on down at Mar-a-Lago. You know, God has opened tremendous doors. And I want to, I say this with a very, you know, humble heart. But God has opened these doors so that we can speak the Bible and we can speak the truth and we can give godly counsel. And I don't take that lightly. And when we have those opportunities, and I learned this in Hollywood, when God would put me before prominent people or celebrities or different things, that, you know, I can't get awestruck or, ooh, look who I'm meeting with. No, that's not what it's about. I have a mission. I'm sent on a mission to speak the truth of the Bible. And so anyway, this, you know, we've been busy the last few years. And so this, you know, we do the fast a few weeks ago, and then there's the midterms. And, you know, I'm not saying it was like a total disaster, but honestly, it wasn't what most people expected. And here we come out of this, and I said, Lord, I need you to speak to my heart. We've worked so hard. You know, people have repented. They've had prayer meeting after prayer meeting, Zoom call after Zoom call. We've been running around so busy. And I feel like the Lord said, it's not that you weren't doing my work, Todd. You know, we sent you. You know, the Spirit of the Lord sent you on this mission. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You've been sent out to go. And so, and many of you have been sent out. You've done different things over the course of the last few years. I see many of you at different events and doing the work of the kingdom and things like that around the country. And so none of these things are in vain. Okay. I believe that there's a purpose and that the Lord has used these things. But see, a few weeks back there, I was in prayer in the prayer room, and God showed me that we were entering into a new season. And once we go into a new season, what happens is you can't put old wine in new wineskin. Okay. Because if you do that, if you try to go back to let's say, for instance, if we try to go back to pre-COVID and what we consider normal, okay, we can't do that anymore because we're in a new wineskin. wineskin. Something has shifted and we've gone into a new season spiritually. And so even though the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the word remains the same, we as believers understand the spiritual environment has shifted in the land. And so we've been contending, this group has been contending and calling upon the name of the Lord. There is a remnant. And when I always say, whenever there's a remnant, that means the Lord is not done working. And so praise God. I believe he's not done with America. I believe there's going to be a great end time harvest. It's already began. I believe he's bringing different streams together. All those things remain. Okay, somebody asked me the other day, do you think that, you know, we're going to be dancing in the streets at some point? I do, because I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a powerful move of God where we're going to see miracles, signs and wonders and things happening. But here's what the Lord is showing me, and this is where it gets a little bit rough, is while this is happening, simultaneously, things are going to get tough. And we cannot put our trust or our hope in an election or a political figure, okay? Now, we can support political figures and we can be active, and I think we need to be active in every aspect of society, whether it's education or, you know, being active at the community level. Many of you have different callings, and God has gifted you with the gift of gab and articulate speaking, and you can go to the community meeting or the school board meeting, and you can represent Jesus Christ, and you can represent the Bible and the truth and the Constitution, which, by the way, is very collaborative with the Bible, you know, because the Constitution was drafted by people who believed in God. And so, you know, but here's the thing. Ultimately, though, there is a core as Christians that we have to understand that unless we change the culture by getting them saved and having a true move of the Spirit, you know, then we're just building, you know, whoever builds the house without the Lord labors in vain, you know, unless the Lord builds the house. So what I'm saying is I think the Lord has been with us to open these doors. There's been a great awakening. There's been so many people that have come out of darkness. Maybe that was you. In the last few years, God has awakened you. You're up now. Your eyes are open. They're sober-minded. You've seen countless people in your life that have come to understand that we're in a spiritual battle. We've come a long way. This is a time where bold preachers have been, you know, risen up, and God has risen up his hidden remnant for a time as this. And so all these things needed to happen. And I don't think any of it happened, you know, without God allowing it to happen. Even what happened in 2020. Okay, but now we are where we are, and we've just gotten past this midterm, and there's all these people. Now, what I think the Lord showed me recently, I'm going to share this with you, is that there's been some hype people, because there's been some tares that have been raised up with the wheat. Okay, so you know, there's been both have kind of been raised up at the same time. And I think the hype, those that don't have the substance, unless they get their heart right or they repent, if they become haughty or prideful, or maybe it started off right, but then it got into some other stuff of flesh, if they don't repent, there's going to be a real separation as we go into this next season, because God is looking for a church without spot nor wrinkle. He's looking for his bride. He's looking for his ecclesia. He's looking for those that are willing to lay down flesh and lay down pride and lay down vain imaginations. Hallelujah. So let's read this again in verse 4, 10:4 of 2 Corinthians. It says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What he wants his church to do is to get to a level of maturity where we understand that we've got to start taking the territory back and pulling down the strongholds. And then right after that, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you, there's people, I see it, it's bizarre. And again, I love prophets, and I'm not against prophets, and there's some real prophets, but there's some bizarre things being said out there. Let's just be honest. And we need to separate ourselves from those things that are not of God, casting down the arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? Well, his word is the truth. We've got to become lovers of the word. This is what's going to equip us for the end times, okay? We've got to know the word. We've got to walk in the discernment of the Spirit, okay? We've got to be able to fill ourselves up, encourage ourselves in Christ. You know, we can't be getting down or depressed or, oh my gosh, the midterms, look at what happened. It was a disaster. And now that's it. No, this is a time where we come up and we say, you know what? We are the body. That's who we are. We are the hands and arms and legs of Jesus Christ. We are walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have the fire of God. And so we're casting down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to what? The obedience of Christ. How are we walking in obedience of Christ? Well, we're lovers of the word and we know the word, and we've got to be willing to course correct. Now, when I share with you what I did about taking pictures with people, again, you'll see me, I'll still take pictures of people and I'll still have people on my show. But what I'm saying is I'm going to be more careful going forward to really limit it. It's not going to be every show. It's not going to be every time, because honestly, I'd rather make quality content where we're speaking the truth of the word that's going to get people set up for success. And maybe not as many people tune in. That's okay. You know, we're not in this for the views. Okay. We're in this for the group that has the heart of God, the group that wants to go deeper. As we get ready to launch the core groups in January, this vision is going to go to every city that has Remnant Warriors. Where you know, they start a core group and we're all part of the big core group. And then we make disciples in the city. And this is the infrastructure to how the vision of the Remnant Revival Centers get launched. Because, you know, the Lord showed me, he said, you don't need a building in every city. There's people that already have buildings. There's people that have massive houses or barns that they could use for the kingdom, or, you know, different things where people could gather. What we need to do is raise up disciples. What we need to do is raise up a group of people that are willing and able to equip the saints in this hour and refute and go against the lies that are being taught to the children. We have to make disciples. We have to make sustainable, long-lasting Christians. And we do that by getting into the truth and the word of God, not aberrations, not me saying a bunch of vain imaginations or things that tickle your ears or all of a sudden a clickbait or all we can get all these people. Look, there's going to be many people that succumb to that. I'm just being honest. There's going to be many hype people that in this last season have been raised up because they started off right, but unfortunately fame or pride or something got to their head and they got off course. And if they don't repent and get back on course, there's going to be a problem, because the Bible says pride comes before a fall. I think the Lord gives us an opportunity to make a course correction. And that's what I really feel is like, look, this ministry, we've been so entrenched in the political affairs of the community, and I'm not pulling out of that. But what I'm saying is we've got to understand the number one is the spiritual health of this country. This is why we are where we are. The moral depravity, the gender confusion, the stuff that you see Hollywood putting out and all that, that's all downstream of the church. And you want the answer? The answer is making disciples. The answer is souls. Getting people saved and set free. How do I know? Because I was one of those people that was messed up in the world. I was one of those people that was totally deceived. And the Lord got a hold of my life, and it was nothing was untouched in my life. Every area the Lord got in. I let him in every door, okay? And it absolutely changed my life. It changed my life, and it set me on another course, and that's where I got the fire. And the fire has been what's allowed me to go all these years and remain on fire and see the Lord moving and see the Lord opening doors and seeing people get set free. Nothing about Todd. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We want to be history makers. When we walk in the room, everything shifts because of the Spirit of the living God that indwells in us, and that we are walking in consecration and holiness and purity, and we're not caught up in the lies and the disinformation and the gossip and the trying to build our own kingdom and, you know, comparison with other ministries and other people and look at me and look, I'm doing something good. Everybody's got to see what I'm doing. No, this is about the kingdom. And when we make it about the kingdom, every area in our life is going to be affected. If you're having a financial challenge in your life and you start making it about souls, you're going to see how quickly God turns around that situation. I'm telling you, if you make it about the kingdom, if you make it, Lord, you wake up in the morning, you say, what can I do for you today? Let me be about your business. When the Lord wakes you up at 3 a.m, you say, Lord, why'd you wake me up? What do you want me to pray about? You start getting really deep into the presence of God, and you allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to move on you. He's going to course correct you, because that's what he does. He is the potter and we are the clay. There's many different times when he says it's a new season. It's time for you to focus on this. Listen, in this next season, I believe the Remnant Revival Center in Nashville will be launched. I believe it in this next year. I'm feeling it in my spirit. It's coming. Okay, there's going to be things we're going to focus on, how we can, as a ministry, best steward what the Lord has given us. And you know what? If for whatever reason the finances stop coming in or whatever happens, you know what? It's all up to God. I know that if you are a partner in this ministry, you're going to be blessed. Because you know what? God, we are seeking the heart of God. This will never be about Todd Coconato. If it is, I'm done. He gives and takes away. This is his ministry. We are going to focus our resources and the full capacity of everything we have for the radio show, the TV show, the broadcast that we do on Sunday at the service, everything to souls. Every single thing is going to be about growing disciples, making people go deeper in Jesus Christ by teaching them, equipping them, delivering them, healing them, everything biblically focused. Now, does that mean that if a congressman calls me, I'm not going to go meet with him or her? No, of course. I'll still do all the things. I'm not pulling out. Okay, we're not going like, you know, oh, now we're not going to be bold or we're not going to stand. I'm going to still speak to all the issues and the different things. None of that's changing. But what's the focus is, though, is the focus is how can we grow the kingdom? How can we impact the culture? How can we develop the souls, get people saved? Okay, this is going to be the main mission wherever we go. This has to be, because the only way that we're going to affect this culture is by getting this culture set free and saved and healed and delivered. That's it. It's the answer is not in a political figure. The answer is not in some type of legislation. The answer is not in a midterm election. The answer is not in 2024. You better believe I'll be active. I'll be praying. But listen, right now, from this day forward, our main mission, our main objective is souls and you, that this is your church. I want to see you going deeper. I want to see you getting healed. I want to see you understanding your identity in Jesus. I want to see it where you're not swayed by the news cycle or what happens out there or what somebody said or somebody rises up against you or your spouse is giving you a hard time or your kids are giving you a hard time. You are going to be like a tree that's planted by the water. You will not be moved. You will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you got your Bible in Revelation, go ahead and turn there. We're going to go Revelation, looks like 19. I'm going to read right here from chapter verse 1, Revelation 19. It says, after these things, I heard a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who has corrupted the earth with her fornication and has avenged her on the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, they say, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the living four creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both great and small. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of many thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, we're going to go into a teaching on Revelation soon, where we're going to get into, you know, all these things, Babylon the Great, and you know, the different churches and everything. I think it's time that we talk about some of these things. But for today, I'm focusing right here. I just wanted to give you the context, but I'm focusing on verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice. This is 19:7, Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, here's the thing. Made herself ready. What does that look like? What does that mean? It's consecration. Come out from among them. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Okay. Knowing that he's with us even till the end of the age, occupying until he comes, standing on the promise of God, which is yes and amen. Hope in the future, knowing our identity in Jesus Christ. Okay. Pulling down the strongholds, understanding the battle. Are you with me? Are you with me? Excuse me. So here's the thing. We have to be prepared. And in order for us to be prepared, we got to get our hearts and our minds prepared. And I think what Satan has been doing is using some of these voices that are out there to only give tickling ears and positive things, because that way no one's getting ready. And in reality, I do believe there's going to be dancing in the streets and rejoicing. And look, we've already seen people getting baptized, music on the both coasts, you know, the Gulf Coast, Florida, you know, California, Oregon, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina. I mean, we've seen people getting baptized and rejoicing and worshiping and dancing and people coming out of darkness and getting healed. So, you know, as the Spirit of the Lord falls in an Acts chapter 2 type of way, where there's a suddenly like a mighty rushing wind and people are anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be dancing, my friends. There will be rejoicing. There will be people getting up out of wheelchairs. As right now, as I speak, my friend Mario Murillo is getting ready to do a tent crusade in California. We're about to go down to Florida and have one right there where the hurricane was in December. And I'm going to be a part of that. God is moving. So do I think there's going to be a move of God? I do. I already see it. It's happening. And I think as times get tougher and the world gets darker, more and more people are going to be drawn to the light and life of Jesus Christ. And so this is what the Lord is saying in this verse in Revelation. Look, first of all, the vain imaginations, who cares about those things? I don't need to have a vain imagination about what I want to have happen so that I gravitate towards whoever it is that's speaking some ear candy to me, okay, so that I have to hear what I want to hear and I can't hear the truth. Then I'm ill-equipped. I'm not set up for success. But if I sit here and I hunger and thirst for righteousness and I say, Lord, let your will be done, all I want to know is that when the marriage supper of the Lamb comes and, Lord, you come back for a church that's without spot nor wrinkle, I want to be part of that group, Father God. I want to be prepared. I want to have my mind and my heart in the right place. And no matter what happens, I want to be like that tree that's planted by the water. I want to be like the brick house that's not blown over in the three little pigs, if you know what I mean. Okay? I mean, let's just give you a visual. You know, I don't want to be the one that's built of straw. There's a church right now that's built a straw. It's called the Church of Laodicea. It's the compromise church. It's the tickling ears church. The minute somebody comes against them, the minute there's something that bad happens or we lose a midterm, people are falling by the wayside. There's a great falling away because they were never grounded in the truth because the preachers were teaching itching ears and telling them what they wanted to hear so they could get more money and get more pats on the back and get more likes and get more followers. But the people are ill-equipped, and so they fall away unless they have an encounter with the fire in the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. And so we are going to stand and speak the truth. I'm not here talking smack about a bunch of people. Look, people, everybody's going to have to stand before the Lord. And am I saying that every person that I've taken a picture with or, you know, done ministry with is bad? Absolutely not. I'm just saying is that we've got to have a pure stream and we've got to stay consecrated. We can't get pulled up in the high school drama. We can't get pulled up in all the things that are going on in the scene or whatever it is, or be so worried about how many followers or how many shows have us on or this or that or all the stuff that you could easily get caught up in. We've got to be focused on the main mission. What we do when no one else even sees. What we do that the Lord sees, and he says our reward is in heaven, not because we're taking selfies and showing everybody about everything that we're doing for God. Are you here? We want our reward to be in heaven. We want the anointing to come from the Holy Spirit. We want the people to have a long-term relationship, a sustainable relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I want for you. I want to see in your life true healing. And there has to be a place where we get to as a group where we say, look, I mean, I'm telling you, anytime I put up anything about being hurt in the church, so many people comment. Anytime I put up anything about somebody that's addicted to opioids or drug addiction or, you know, addiction that's come into your family, so many people comment. If I talk about abusive relationships or, you know, abuse or different things, so many comment. Just in this group, so many of you have walked through such challenging things, but there's so many people that are focused on all this other stuff. We haven't even, I have to repent for you. That's why I put up that post that I did this week, and people got mad at me, but about standing in the gap. We have to fix a lot of problems. But thank God we don't have to do it. The Spirit of the Living God will do it. But we got to let that Spirit of the Living God move in our heart and truly heal us. Heal us from church hurt, heal us from abuse, abusive marriages, abusive relationships, different things that have wounded us. These are the things that God in this season wants to take you through, true healing, true deliverance, to really have an enduring relationship with him where you have the fire. And so if I could do anything as a shepherd, I want you to understand and experience the fire. I want you to understand and experience the truth of God and the gospel and the power of scripture and the power of taking the territory by pulling down the strongholds and the ability. I want you to know when you get into a spiritual battle, I want you to go out and start praying in the Spirit and calling upon the name of the Lord and understanding that your battle is against, not against flesh and blood, what your battle really is. I want you to get to the point where you are equipped and you are set up for success, and you are not going to get depressed or oppressed or depressed by the things that are happening in this hour. You know, when you see something in the news cycle, or we lose a midterm, or something happens, that is not going to sway you, because you are so founded on the solid rock. Your foundation is built on the solid rock. You have scripture hidden in your heart. You know who you are, and you know what you're able to do. And when the trials of life come against you, you will not falter. You will not back down. You will not bow down. You will stand, my friend. That's who this group is. We are the Gideon's 300. We are the ones that are going to stand no matter what. We will not be swayed by what happens in this world. Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this? This group, we have to steward well. And my goodness, if it ever becomes about me, my goodness, no. No. No celebrity pastors up in this place. No, okay? None of that, we can't get caught up in all these things in this hour. These different aberrations, these different things that are movements, but are they birthed by the Spirit? Some of them aren't. Some of them are, but some of them aren't. We've got to discern, we got to test the spirits. You know, we got to see where, you know, what's the spirit behind this? Is it holy? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it something else? And the truth of the gospel and making us, you know, just be so solid by being in the word, and just so solid, a lover of the word. We're not chasing what somebody's going to tell us. I need a word. I better go to this church. I got to get a word. You're going to go into the Bible. You're going to go into your prayer closet. You're going to call upon the name of the Lord. You're going to put on worship. You're going to get your mind right, and you're going to get in the right place. You're going to be equipped so that when the trials come and the tests come and the refiner's fire happens, and it's the best of times and the worst of the times at the same time, and there may be a food shortage, or the government may collapse, the dollar may collapse, whatever happens, you are going to know you are planted on the firm foundation. You are like the tree that's planted by the water. You will not be moved, my friend. You will not back down to the lies of this hour. When they try to tell you to take a mark of the beast, you're not going to take it. You're going to say no. I know what that means. I'm not going to do. You're going to be, listen, we are raising this group right here. The Lord is raising up, not me. But as we get into this season where we get in the core group, and some of you are being raised up as leaders, you say, I really feel like the Lord has called me to go deeper in the ministry. And this is going to be a training and equipping. And as this core group develops, and then we start going out to the highways and the byways and getting more and more people, and I'm telling you, people are going to start coming. They're going to be gravitating towards you. God's going to bring people in your life that you don't even know where they're coming from. If you become a group leader in your city, I'm telling you, people are going to start coming. Okay. And it's just, there's going to be different things that God starts doing. And because we're going to show up, we're going to say, Lord, use us. We've got the fire. We're built on the foundation, which is the solid rock, which is you, Jesus. We want to be about your business. We want to evangelize this city. We want to make disciples. We want to get people set free and healed, delivered. We want to see a move of your spirit. I'm going to tell you right now, when you put yourself in that position, God opens doors. He does things. He brings you before people that you would never even imagine. He does things that you would never even imagine, because you are then in position to do the work of the kingdom. And that's what the scripture in Revelation, it says he's coming for a prepared bride. A prepared bride is going to be a bride that understands and discerns the times, that walks in the Issachar anointing, okay, that understands where we're at spiritually. We may not have everything figured out. We may get some things wrong once in a while, but for the most part, though, we're seeking the face of the Lord. And if we get off, we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We're not too prideful to say we have it all figured out, but we want to stay as a pure stream. Not getting caught up in the vain imaginations, or the tickling of ear syndrome, or the approval of man syndrome, or the trying to be cool syndrome, all that. Okay, God wants a pure stream. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a prepared bride. And this prepared bride is going to be a prayer warrior. It's going to be somebody that's filled with the Spirit, that has the fire, that knows how to operate in the gifts, that knows how to lay hands on the sick, that knows how to, you know, activate when it's time. No matter where you are, you're at the gym, you're at work, you see a divine appointment, you know God has set this before you, all of a sudden you activate, you go into action. You are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the warfare comes, you know how to fight it. You know, this is spiritual warfare. I tell you right now, I'll start sharing with you guys some of the things that happen to me, whether it's the physical attacks or, you know, people manifesting. I mean, trust me, we go through it all. Accusations, all of a sudden out of nowhere, somebody just manifests. These are spiritual warfare elements. But the thing is, when we know how to battle them and we know how to identify them, they're nothing, because the gates of hell will not prevail. And he's given us the authority to trample on scorpions and devils. Whatever it is that you're going through in your life, God's given you the tools that you need to get through it. Look, I want to stand with you, okay? Pray about being part of the core group. I want to stand with you. And even if you're not, this group, this community, okay, this body, we are gonna fight for our healing. We're gonna fight to get through the generational curses, the strongholds, the lies, the things that have been told us over the years, insecurities, jealousy, envy, hate, all of it, everything that's an anti-fruit, okay? Pride that's risen up in people, haughtiness. Okay, we want to seek the heart of God. There's a song from Matt Redman. It's called Heart of Worship. I want to go back to the heart of worship. You know, create in me that clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Get me focused on you. Let this not be about me, Lord God. Are you here? Hallelujah. We've said a lot today. Thank you, God. You're leading us. You're guiding us as a community. You're taking us into new territory. We are not beat down. We're not defeated. We're not weary. Lord, if anybody's on here right now, they're feeling tired, they're feeling weary, I pray you give them rest and peace. You fill their soul right now. You feed them up, Lord God. Let them be recharged and strengthened in their faith right now. Their spouse is acting up. There's challenges in the home. The kids are being rebellious. Whatever it is, Lord God, I pray that you work on their heart this morning, Lord God, that they would have a revelation and that, Lord, they would seek your face and they'd come out just totally victorious. Strengthen in their faith. Financial attack, Lord God, I just pray, Lord, they become tithers, good sowers. They sow good seed on fertile ground. And Lord God, I pray, Lord, that any spirit of poverty or lack would be broken in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Any lacking, any fear, any doubt, any apathy, any complacency. Lord, this week, many of us have got so discouraged. Our country is so corrupt. Our system is so corrupt. And we just think, how can we ever, ever fix it? How can we ever do anything? Sometimes we just want to give up. But Lord, then you raise up a fire inside of us to understand that it's never been about the midterms. It's never been about this world, Lord God. Lord God, the battle is not against flesh and blood, but strongholds and principalities. And you are raising up a remnant for a time as this with fire. Fire to set the captive free. That we are in the world. We're not of the world, Lord God. We are set apart. And Lord, you're going to continue to draw us nearer to you. And we are going to hunger and thirst for you. And Lord, we're going to see miracles and signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel his glory so strong right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Touch us today. Forgive us, Lord. I repent. I repent on behalf of other pastors that have hurt anybody in this community. I stand in proxy. I stand in the gap today. But Lord, I also want to repent for myself. If I've done anything, if I've said anything, it's hurt anybody or that wasn't from you, I pray, Lord God, that you'd sanctify me as a shepherd, Lord God, as a leader, Lord God, that you'd show us any areas that is grieving you, Lord, in this ministry, in our personal life, anything, Lord God. Let us find the heart of worship. Let us just create in us a clean heart. Let us be about your business, Lord God. Lord, let us not focus on what this one said or that one said. Let us focus on what you said. Oh, a pure stream, a pure heart. We love you, Lord. We love you so much. I pray this would resonate in the hearts of the remnant, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, this would resonate, Lord, that anything that's not of you would fall to the ground, but anything that's of you, Lord God, would resonate and would stir and would build up inside these saints in their hearts, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before we go today, I just want to pray. If you say, Pastor, I just want to make sure if I were to die, if I were to get killed, if Jesus were to come back, I want to make sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, just lift your hand right now. That's me, Pastor. I want to make sure if I were to die, if I were to get killed, if Jesus were to come, I want to make sure my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to go to heaven. If that's you, just lift your hand right now and just pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the cross of Calvary. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I give my heart to you today. I will never turn back. Your heart, my heart, I love you, God. Let me see your face, Lord God. I call upon your name in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that today, please let me know. Last week, we had over 20 people that accepted Jesus that got in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. You can text me, 818-470-7963, 818-470-7963. If you need a Bible, we'll go ahead and send one to you. We love you. We bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you got something out of this today. And be encouraged. God is with us. He's our source. He's our strength. He's our shield. He's our very present help in time of need. He's with us even until the end of the age. And go about this week and make disciples and get planted. Spend time in worship and see what God's going to do, okay? And I'd love to hear from you if you want to talk. All right, God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
I've been here before. I recognize the signs lying on the floor. I keep thinking twice about who I am and you, what you've called me to. Don't know what to do anymore. Mind is running wild, chasing all my ghosts. Every what if trying to steal my hope. Got me complicating what I know. So I don't. You understand what being human's like when I come running back to you after all my vain pursuits with all the things I tried to do on my own. I keep thinking back when you spoke my name. I was filled with dreams, I was filled with faith. I don't wanna miss a single thing that you said. Bring me back to home. I wanna feel